Hey everyone, I'm Big Waz, aka Wazyland Bray, and I'm the host of Weekends with Waz and co-host of Group Chat on the Ringer NBA feed. Alongside Weekends and Group Chat, we have an incredible assortment of NBA coverage. Real Ones with Logan Murdoch and Raja Bell, The Answer with Sirit Sohi and Kyle J. Mann, and Off Guard with Austin Rivers and Pausha Hagigi. Each week, we tackle all the major news from throughout the NBA and talk to guests from throughout the NBA world, from famous fans like Jerry Ferrara to current all-stars like Karl Anthony Towns to NBA legends like J.R. Smith, as well as NBA media guys and gals from all over the country. So be sure to check us out Monday through Friday on the Ringer NBA feed.
Welcome, everyone, to a special episode of Dissect. I am your host, Cole Kushna. Today, I'm joined with Season 12 co-writer Camden Ostrander for a bonus episode on Mad Villainy's Money Folder by MF Doom and Madlib. This is a bonus episode because, as I mentioned in the previous episode you guys just heard on Tuesday, we're not covering every track on Mad Villain individually. We're going to skip over some tracks, but Money Folder was one that I was kind of on the fence about. Me and Cam were on the fence about it. And we wanted to give it some love. So we're going to do a conversational dissect of Money Folder.
Yay. Hi, Cole. I'm excited we get to talk about this one. This will be fun.
It's a good one. I found some really cool stuff that I didn't know was in there. So I'm excited to share that. I'm curious to see what you found. So just to give the listeners an idea how we kind of went about this episode, you kind of made some notes about it. I made some notes about it. We're going to kind of talk through it as if it were a scripted episode, just conversational, and kind of share our thoughts on each line. We have not discussed the song really all that much, so we're going to be kind of figuring out as we go.
It's like a writer's room.
Yeah.
It's like, it'll be nice. This will be nice.
We did this on, what was that, season 9, Mac Miller.
Mm-hmm.
We did a conversation about Conversations, the song. Yeah, let's get into it. We're going to start with Money Folder. We're going to play a clip. So we're just going to set this up just like a regular episode of Dissect. We're going to play a clip. We're going to talk about the lyrics in that clip and move on. So let's start right at the beginning.
The villain took on many forms.
Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. After you, whose last is doomed, he's the worst known. That'll have your boom blown or eat the thirst bone. Rockets won't burst, clone, just don't curse the groan. On his own microphone, bring it everywhere he go. So he can bring it to you live in stereo. Pan it, can't understand it, ban it. The underhanded ran it, planned it, and left him.
Okay, so we heard a little bit of the opening verse, but before there's the opening verse, we got to talk about the beat. We got to talk about the introductory skit, or I guess excerpt. So it starts with the classic, the thing that they sample throughout the album, which is a documentary of horror villains. It's like a 30-minute documentary. They take a very small clip. It says, the villain took on many forms, which I read as a pretty cool little like nugget on terms of like, you know, many forms is talking about obviously Doom taking on all these aliases. Also Quasimodo is going to make an appearance on the next track. So Madlib has all these different aliases.
It's also the lead single. They had to let people know it's like a villain. Oh. Like they had to let people know there was a concept coming in, I think. So they had to they had to give us this little sample. Yeah.
Did you notice many forms? Anything about many forms?
MF?
What? Yeah. So that's a thing that might may or may not come back at some point in the song. So, but I thought that was pretty clever if they were intending to do that. It's pretty cool that MF, many forms, in a song called Money Folder. So the beat is interesting in that I could not find the sample. The sample source that I use a lot for referencing these kind of samples is whosampled.com. It's a great website.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty comprehensive, especially with an album like this that's very beloved within a certain hip-hop community that, you know, values production. So the fact that it didn't have a sample source anywhere, I couldn't find one on Reddit or anything tells me that it's either something very, very obscure that they didn't need to credit, or it's an original. You know, oftentimes Madlib will play live instruments, as he will later on at the end of the album, for a full track on Great Day. So the main harmony, I couldn't find a sample source. I'm going to assume that Madlib was sampling himself. The drums, however, are from a drum compilation, essentially, a song called Going Down by Babatunde Lee. It's just straight up drums sampled and sped up. Nothing really complicated there. So I would say a simple but very effective production on this thing. Very driving. Doom sounds very aggressive. Maybe, I don't know, a little more energized than usual.
Is there not a sample for the part later in the middle? Is there not? I thought there must have been
there. So we'll save that.
We'll get there.
I have the source. We'll gotcha. I have the source on that, but it's not quite a sample.
Okay, cool.
So let's just get into the verse. Cool. Unless you had anything on the production.
That's all you, Cole. Don't worry.
Right, yeah. Yeah. That's what I figured. Okay. Iconic opening line. Like essentially every song on this project. Just
first bar is important.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah.
It feels like he really thinks about these opening bars, or they're just kind of the inspiration that then kind of leads to the rest of the verse. Since he seems to write down couplets a lot, just like individualized couplets that then kind of work their way into whatever song. So we have a great one here. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. After you, who's last? It's doom. He's the worst known. Which is just like in its phrasing is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's taking a famous biblical kind of proverb or idiom. Technically comes from John 3:8. The story goes, there's a woman charged with adultery, the punishment of which is public stoning. This woman is brought to Jesus, and then Jesus tells this crowd, he who is without sin among us, let him cast the first stone at her. Essentially saying we're all sinners. We can't judge people too harshly, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, Doom flips this in a very classic Doom way, saying that he'd be the last person to throw a stone because he has done the most sinning. So just a really great flip of this common idiom, classic Doom technique. Also, I don't know if you thought about this, a play on Stones Throw Record.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think it was because like this is the first one? This is the first thing they put out on Stones Throw. He had to start with that. Like, why did he start with this? I don't know. I thought it might be.
I think so. If this was the first single, was this on the leak? I believe it was on the leak. Do you remember?
I think so.
Off the top of your head?
I think it is.
So meaning like it was recorded in those earlier sessions in 2002, as opposed to the late 2003 sessions. And on those early songs, there's a lot of wordplay about Madlib, Doom, connecting. Obviously, that's a fresh inspiration point. So I wouldn't be surprised if it has, you know, the first stone was a Stone's Throw play. Anything else on that before we move on?
I also like the play on Doom's own name being death and that being the last thing. Like, that's the end. It's Doom. Like, I like that little, I just think he does that with his name a lot. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should probably acknowledge the rhyme here. Since like the opening line is like a quote, there's not any internal rhymes. But then right away, that second line where it becomes Doom's original, you know, you got the who, you, whose, Doom rhyme. You have the cast and last rhyme. You have the first stone, the worst known. So at this point, we're kind of used to this, but it's also, but you don't want to overlook it at the same time. Like, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very confusing next couplet. I'm curious to know your thoughts because some stuff I just didn't know. That'll have your boom blown. Or either thirst bone, rocket tomb, burst clone, just don't curse the throne. So that'll have your boom blown is like speakers blown, I think, like boombox speakers blown.
I think it's that or marijuana being blown, like that being
right.
Loud, you know?
Okay.
That, one of those two. Yeah.
Thirst bone, I don't know.
No.
Do you have any thoughts on thirst bone? I have no idea.
Worst known, first stone, thirst bone. Yeah. Like that's all I got.
Thirst. Yeah, maybe it's a drug thing. I'm not sure of.
It could be like a euphemism. Thirsty, his bone.
That's what I was thinking too. But there's no other sex stuff yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. Anyone knows, let us know. But Rocket Tomb, Burst Clone, that feels like stone wordplay. So rock, stone from the previous. Rocket Tomb, Burst Clone. Burst Clone, I thought, was just like fitting the rhyme scheme, of course, but a way to say like destroying any imposters.
Which becomes very ironic given when he started putting out the imposter. Like, I don't think he had done it at this point, putting out the MF Doom imposter performers. But yeah.
But he would eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
Just Don't Curse the Throne seems just classic superiority respect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. Own his own microphone, bring it everywhere he go, so he can bring it to you live in stereo. Yeah, of course. Well, this is like classic Doom again, talking about his microphone.
Mm-hmm.
It's singular. You can't touch it. You can't breathe on it. Don't follow him on the mic. Like, he's also talking about it like it's a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it everywhere he go. And then obviously we get the cool stereo kind of text painting of it pans left and right to show you that it's actually in stereo, left and right channels.
There's notes that this like references a couple. Like, he's not the only one who ever thought of this. I did think that you would love the text painting of the Aerie in different places.
Yeah, it's cool because it's like something you feel in the moment. It's not anything that you, it's like clever, but it's also something that's very noticeable. It's not like most people are going to catch that, I think. I did see, I think Genius had a few people that did something similar, but it didn't feel like a call to any of those that I saw or that I thought of. So
I thought the same.
Yeah. So moving on, he switches the rhyme scheme. So to this point, he's been doing a lot of blown, bone, burst clone, own, phone, stereo, like a lot of this stuff. Then he flips it here pretty abruptly and abandons everything before in terms of rhyme. He says, pan it, can't understand it, ban it, the underhand and rant it, planned it and left him stranded. Oh, by the way, like reciting some of this stuff on the air, on, you know, recording, I don't know how he wrapped it because it's such, these are such tongue twisters that are just hard to even say, let alone rhyme it to a beat and very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So also something I've really noticed and loved about studying him, terms of rhyme scheme, he is so quick to establish new rhymes, meaning that most rappers end up just rhyming the fourth bar of every measure, just standard M rhymes, sometimes multi-syllable end rhymes, but mostly the rhyme schemes are established on the fourth bar of every measure, the last last part of the sentence. And then when they change rhyme schemes, they just do it, they just flip it with kind of without warning, and it's just, you know, that rhyme scheme's done. The next one's going to be established on also the fourth beat, the last part of the sentence. And that's just kind of the standard. Doom seems to always establish the new rhyme scheme like right away on the first beat of the next line. And then he's doing internals in that first beat with the new rhyme cadence like right away. And so it's like you're getting a new rhyme, but at the same time, the rhymes never stop. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't wait to establish. It's like it's, once it's there, it's like it's fair game, and he just rolls with it. So this is a great example of that, pivoting the rhyme scheme but just relentless with the rhymes still. So you never, there's never any gap in the rhymes. Okay, meaning pan it, stereo effect. So he's calling back to what he just panning, but then also flipping it to mean you can say pan it like criticize it, which then leads him to say can't understand it, ban it. Which in this context calls back, I think, to the boombox kind of thing where like on the radio, on stereo, and then people like trying to ban Doom because of misunderstanding the villain, essentially, can't understand it, which is classic Doom. The underhanded ranter. I didn't know underhand means deceitful. Is that a common thing?
Yeah, like underhanded, I guess I thought backhanded compliment. I've also heard underhanded compliment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I learned that. Thanks, Doom. So underhand means deceitful. That means underhanded ranter, essentially the people that criticized him are plotting against him, planned it, left him stranded. This feels like it could be a call to KMD censorship.
I think it's setting it up for verse 2, where he's going to, where he talks about it a little bit more. But I do think he is talking about KMD. Referencing like them getting censored and panned. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I thought so. Yeah, it's not totally overt, but it's like coming from Doom. You think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Censorship in rap was still pretty, I mean, by early 2002, I guess it was probably still in play. That was more like late 90s, very early 2000s, but it seems like it was still kind of in the zeitgeist, rap censorship, which Doom does tend to cite, especially in the earlier stuff. Okay, so let's listen to the next clip and we'll talk about it.
The best, any who profess will be remanded. Yes, sir, request permission to be candid. Granted, I don't think we can handle a style so rancid. He flipped it like Madden and did the old jazz standard.
All right, jumping back in, we get a pretty iconic, classic kind of Doom technique here. He says, the best, anyone who profess will be remanded. Yes, sir, request permission to be candid, granted. I don't think he can handle a style so rancid. He flipped it like Mad Lib did an old jazz standard. Very cool.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously he's like dictating this conversation between a high-ranking officer and a low-ranking officer, which I'm assuming is the underhanded, the people that tried to ban him. And essentially, like, the lower officer is, you know, granted permission, mm-hmm. permission to be candid. He essentially says, you know, Doom is the best and we can't fuck with him.
We can't handle this. He's got us outnumbered. We're overpowered. Like, he's, yeah, it's feeling like classic, like, old cartoon.
Like, right.
It is so cool how he does the self conversation. Doom obviously has so many characters, but, like, when he does this thing, when he's, like, basically talking with himself.
Right.
You really get that look into like him playing word games with himself in his brain and just having those internal conversations.
Right. Like yeah. talking with himself, about another mm-hmm. character
yep.
he's playing. So this is pretty cool. So he says he flipped it like Mad Lib did an old jazz standard. So obviously this then cuts to an extended musical interlude.
Mm.
So he follows this like, I guess, lyrical theatrics of playing these characters that then say they flip their opinion about Doom, meaning they tried to censor him and then now they're mm-hmm. praising him, to Mad Lib flipping a jazz standard. So this probably cites Yesterday's New Quintet, which had mm-hmm. just come out the year, I guess the year after he would have written this, but I would assume that Mad Lib was already working on it or thinking about it. But then we actually hear a Mad Lib original. Cool thing about this is that it's not actually a sample. So this is Mad Lib playing, as he does often with his jazz pieces, essentially quote unquote covering a jazz standard in his own musical language, meaning he's playing the drums or he's sampling the drums and he's kind of touching on a melody or the chords in his own way. This is a, I guess, an interpolation or a cover of Freddie Hubbard. It's called A Soul Turnaround from 1969. We can play a little clip here. It's not very obvious. The tempos are, you know, quite different, and it's not like he's directly quoting it. It's kind of like alluding to it. That's definitely not like factual. That's just the general consensus that this is the piece that he's referencing. But I did find it does make sense, because if you think about Soul Turnaround, why would they pick Soul Turnaround?
Why?
They just talk about flipping. So he's literally flipping a jazz standard right after Doom said, flipped it like an old jazz standard, mm-hmm. and he's literally flipping a song called Turnaround.
That's cool.
Gotta be intentional, right? Like, of all the songs he's gonna choose to do right there.
That's cool, yeah. That makes sense.
I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that is not the last time. We're going to cut to a quick ad break, but that's not the last time that he's going to flip something in this sequence of the song. So let's hit the ad and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. All right, we are back dissecting Money Folder. We had just heard the theatrics of Doom playing these different characters, ending this little skit with he flipped it like a Mad Lib did an old jazz standard. We get an actual flip of a jazz standard called Turnaround. So there's this flip motif going on. that is going to continue in the next part of the song.
Don't mind me, I wrote this rhyme lightly over two or three heinies. And boy was they fine, G. One black, one Spanish, one Chinese. It keeps the woody shiny around like a pine tree. Don't sign me, I'm about to get a mill without him. Crowd him off the shelf, he's the villain. And what about him? So, and he's a jerk and you don't know him. Mad how he expand work but won't show him. Poor guys, what a sight for old soul four eyes. Now hook me with two apple pies and a small fries.
Alright, so Doom comes back after the jazz sample. Mm-hmm. With one of my favorite bars on the entire song, on the entire album. It is such a cool moment. Really funny. Classic Doom. He says, don't mind me. I wrote this rhyme lightly off of two or three Heinies. So at this point, we're thinking Heinekens, obviously. This is something Doom does quite often. He cites the origin, the place that he's writing, or like the inspiration of the verse that he's writing currently. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking two or three Heinies. He's also got a new rhyme scheme here with mind me, rhyme lightly, three Heinies, this double E thing. But then, of course, he flips it. So this is another flip right after he talked about flip and then a flip of a jazz sample called Turnaround. He does a classic Doom flip here and says, and boy was they fine, G, one black, one Spanish, one Chinese. It keep the woody shiny year round like a pine tree. Just like so good.
Yeah, it's the Heinies. MF Doom is a super villain saying Heinie. Like, dude.
Yeah. So the Heinie then becomes the ass, of course. and then it turns into this sexual boast, which just in the hands of Doom, that his sex boast just never sounds.
So
they're never serious. They're just always funny because, like,
yeah,
he can't really pull off like just a straight sex thing. I think he knows that.
What?
So there's always like a comedic twist to the sex bars usually, and this one is just great. So of course, continuing the flip motif, there's also a really great wordplay, especially in the "it keeps the wood shiny year round like a pine tree." So woody obviously alludes to an erection, but also the tree and pine tree wood. So keeping it shiny like a pine tree. So there's a couple of ways you can interpret it. Probably all of them were intentional. So keeping it fresh, keeping it shiny like a pine scented cleaner or air freshener, which is like a common scent for those things. Mm-hmm. But also pine trees, I did some research here, literally stay green year round. I've read about the evolution of pine trees. I forgot most of the information, but they've evolved to like store moisture in the thin needles. And so there's moisture when there's not moisture, and it protects them from the snow. And I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but
they're shiny year round.
They are literally shiny year round. Mm-hmm. So when he says year round, like a pine tree,
this is how I can tell you're on the West Coast. You do.
Yeah.
I'm looking out my window at a pine tree right now. Like, okay, but that's so funny.
is that a double entendre, triple entendre? That's a great line.
Yeah. That's true.
Flipped many different ways. So
I love how he comes back in with "don't mind me" also.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like he set Madlib, like we talk about the Madlib MF Doom teamwork that was going on to make Mad Villainy. This is obviously a call to like MF Doom writing the verse, Madlib responding with production, and then MF Doom coming back with the verse after that, right? To add in the jazz standard. But him to come back in with "don't mind me, I need to rap again." Like, for the villain to be so polite, right?
What he did that on another song, what is that? Where he takes a brief pause and then comes back. Oh, I'm blanking on the song now. Anyways, he kind of does the sly acknowledgments of these kind of things a lot.
I loved it. There's also we should note that there's a quote about this line specifically, from Eric Coleman, the guy who took the photo for the album cover. In the Will Hagel 33 and a third book, Eric Coleman talks about like, he believes this is like a specific story. He has this quote. He's like, yeah, there was this one night when we ran out of Heineken and we were treating MF Doom well to a party and he was having a good time. And like, he's like, that is a specific moment. Doom was like being inspired by the good times they were having, which is okay. Nice because so much of this song feels like very in the moment of them creating this whole thing.
Right.
I thought that was cool.
All right. You want to take over?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited to do dry reads of lyrics. Excellent. My best Cole voice. MF Doom then raps, "Don't sign me. I'm about to get a mill without him. Crowd him off the shelf. He's the villain. And what about him?" So I like this, that he like kept the don't mind me into don't sign me. And I think this is when he's talking about KMD getting shelved.
Right.
Which we alluded to in the last verse. But we've also heard at this point, like when he got shelved, when they were literally censored, he got paid. Like he did get money on his way out the door.
And his masters.
Mm-hmm, and his masters. So, and I like that he used like the term off the shelf, like that kind of being shelved, his album being shelved, things like that.
Right.
And it's also funny to hear him again speak from like the crowd. He's the villain. What about him? It's like people saying, I don't know. Who cares about that guy? Right?
Right.
So I thought it was really cool. Did you have anything else?
No, keep going.
Another line read. So, and he's a jerk.
I don't think I could hear you read like this the whole time.
Okay, fine. I'm doing like a pose. In it. All right. MF Doom then says, "So, and he's a jerk and you don't know about him. Mad how he expand work but won't show him." I didn't really have much on those two. Did you?
Yeah, I think the mad how he expand work won't show him. I mean, every time he says mad, I'm like, okay, Mad Lib.
Mad villainy. Or Mad Lib, yeah.
Mad Lib, Mad villainy. Won't show him feels very like anonymous. Like maybe, so is it self-referential to his own work, anonymity? He's working on stuff but barely publishes anything. That would definitely apply to Mad Lib.
That's true.
And then the wordplay of like showing work. So like a math problem, he expanded work but won't show him.
So the only two like little thoughts I had about this were, I wondered if not showing the work alludes to, again, that time when KMD got shelved, because we've talked about like these missing years from Doom's life. I wonder if he's talking about work, if he's suggesting something about times that he does not talk about or did not talk about, and we never got to see that. Right. And then with the math thing, the next few lines do have numbers.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So MF Doom raps, poor guy. Oh, wait,
one other thing. One other possibility.
Or what?
In terms of don't know him, won't show him.
Yeah.
And even to the KMD point, like it could be talking about like underground. Like underground hip hop versus like publicly seen, publicly out there. Another possibility.
True.
Okay.
All right. So with the math, the numbers lines.
Yeah.
All right. So Doom raps, poor guys, what a sight for old sore four eyes. Now hook me with two apple pies and a small fries. All right. Small fries. Wait, I want to get the next two in this as well. He says, all rise so far, odd as a ruple, so raw, break it down and make quadruple.
And a small fries, all rise, so far, odd as a ruple, so raw, break it down and make quadruple. It's crucial, you can see it in his pupil, and this time when he get it, he'll waste it on something useful, like getting juiced off a deuce of cokey. Keep it low key, known to pull a okie dokie. Silly goose, Doom is too jokey. Damn, he could really use a room or a whole key.
So in terms of math, he's got four eyes, then he gets two apple pies, then one small fry, and then he like talks about how he can make one into four. So he's doing, I don't know if he was doing something with numbers on purpose.
Oh, right.
But he's got a little going down and then going back up thing. Sore four eyes it is funny how he demeans himself, because that would be him, right? Like the four eyes,
right.
With MF Doom with the glasses, and our favorite pictures of him with the glasses outside the mask.
Yeah, so. That's the best. That's so good.
This is when he's at his best.
But he also said poor. He also says poor guys, plural.
Mm-hmm.
So when the four eyes thing, I don't know if that was like a Doom and Mad Lib thing together, or if he's just talking about
they plural. Have four eyes together.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I actually didn't even look to see if I could. You know, I love numbers, and I didn't even like. So he has two, four, so six, seven, What's a ruble? Do we know what the value of a ruble is?
It's like a Russian currency, I think. I don't know what the value.
I don't know what the value is.
I took it as one.
But it's cool that he does seem to, that definitely makes it more of a case for the mass problem wordplay of the previous line that then is followed by numbers, four lines with numbers in it. So,
I love how he like pauses during his McDonald's order. Hook me with, there is a pause. There is a pause. Hook me with two apple pies in a spot. Like he thinks about, let me get a, like he does that, which I
like. I like pluralizing the singular fry.
Small fries.
Small fries.
And a small fries.
Because you don't say fry. I mean, yes, you would. Could I have a small fry?
There's more than one fry in the small order, right? Yeah. I did get sad thinking about how that probably used to be like $2. So I got that. And then also when Doom says make quadruple, I thought this was really cool. In the years 2003 to 2004, he releases albums from four identities.
Oh.
Daniel Dumoulin, he released an album as King Ghidorah in 2003. He releases albums by Victor Vaughn. Vaudeville Villain comes out in 2003. Food, 2004. And Mad Villainy is 2004. So raw, if he's talking about his own beats, his own everything that he breaks down, like his lyrics and everything, and he makes it quadruple. That's him making four, like his run for these 2 years is pretty wild. So I thought that was cool if he's talking about that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, also the other play was the more, I guess, a more obvious one. Break it down, make it quadruple. So his lyrics are so raw, you can break them up and sell them in smaller parts for more profit.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you would like raw meat.
Do you think he was thinking like, if I simplified my things, I would be more popular? Or do you like, what do you think? I don't know if he ever wanted,
I think he's just saying his lyrics are so potent that you could literally dice them up and sell them for more profit as you would like, you know, a pound of drugs or whatever.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
That was my play.
Cool. So, Doom then raps, it's crucial. You could see it in his pupil. And this time when he get it, he'll waste it on something useful. And I want to read the next couple. He like getting juice off a deuce deuce of cokey, keep it low key, known to pull a okie dokie. So,
so good.
It's so fun. We should do this. We should do this for everyone now. We just get to laugh at the word.
Yeah. That's good.
So with seeing it in his pupil, I think he's talking about drugs. I think you can see it in his eyes, because he probably did something that was raw, and then he broke it down, and then it gave him the hunger to have two apple pies and a small fries. So he probably had the munchies. Like, I think he might be continuing idea along those lines, from the previous section. I like when Doom talks about using money, like wasting it. So I think if he's talking about money here, waste it on something useful. And then he says something we might not expect, because he says he's going to use his money for a deuce deuce of cokey, which could be either 22 grams of cocaine or cokey malt. It's like a malt liquor.
Yeah.
And then he says, keep it low key, known to pull a okie dokie. So it sounds like he's saying something deceitful, right?
Right.
When he says okie dokie.
Yeah.
Like, I can't find anything like necessary. Like, there's it's a basketball term sometimes. Like, a okie doke, like a little rope and dope.
Like, I think that's what he kind of meant. Like, rope a dope is okie dokie. I've never heard anyone say, like, pull a okie dokie as in, like, get one over on you. But that seems to be clearly the intended meaning.
It seems. When he says pull a, you think he's, like, pulling off a heist. You think he's pulling off some type of something.
So the juiced off a deuce deuce cokey. I think he was doing like the what song is where he says I might need some puss psychiatrist. He's like, you think he's gonna say might need some pussy, but he says puss psychiatrist.
What would he be saying?
Like, we think where he's gonna say cocaine, but he flips it at the last second, essentially. So a deuce deuce off a cokey.
But he just
flips it.
It's a little cokey.
It's just one of those things where you're like, classic Doom of replacing what we think he's going to say with something else.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was trying to figure out the deuce deuce of Cokie. There wouldn't be a 22 like ounce. So maybe it means
two?
Either two or half, or we're just looking too much into it.
Deuce but also and juice.
A deuce? Yeah, deuce and juice. Yeah. But also I looked up deuce and it does mean 40 in tennis terms.
Oh.
There's something where like I think if it's like deuce deuce or deuce something where like both players have 40.
I haven't seen challengers. I don't know what we're
talking. That was what I was thinking, like deuce deuce, like if it was 20-20.
Okay.
Would be equal 40.
So that'd be a 40 ounce.
And obviously we should say like he's continuing the numbers thing.
Mm.
He just said quadruple. Now he's saying deuce deuce.
Yeah.
So I think there's something there. I think that
that's cool.
If I make some grand revelation about these numbers after the fact, I'll punch myself in somewhere in here. But
some calculations.
There might be something else, but at the minimum, he's just doing the numbers thing still, which is cool. I also love he'll waste it on something useful because it's like that's like an oxymoron.
Oxymoron,
but then
right.
He says the thing that makes it make sense in like he did waste it on something, but also that was useful if he's saying that this thing that's making him money, this music, this verse that he's writing was fueled by Heineken. Like the wasted thing actually is useful, and also wasted applies to being drunk. Like,
yes,
this is cool.
There's this, I pulled a quote for this. There's a, okay. In 1999, he gets interviewed by LSD Magazine. He says, cause somebody was like, the interviewer was like, would you ever put yourself in a bad mindset to make more emotionally like revealing music? And he says, I wouldn't put myself into a rut. But while I'm feeling like that, as we all do, I definitely would utilize that and get the most out of it.
Mm.
If something's messing me up, it's going to make me some paper, is what he says. Like that. So like,
yeah.
It is useful for him.
Right.
I wondered if this was a little bit of text painting. When he says, keep it low key, the beat, some elements of the beat drop off and it becomes mostly just a drum sample.
Right.
So I did like that the keep it low key might coincide with that.
Oh,
on purpose.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that could be really cool if that was, which was nice.
Did you, I don't know superheroes, but apparently like Loki is a Marvel villain too.
Yes. Yeah.
So
does he fight Dr. Doom? We should have watched more Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't sure if that was a thing, but
I don't know if he fights Dr. Can somebody who read comic books tell us? Yeah. Yeah. So the Loki, I think that reference works. It's cool.
Yeah.
Can we do the next line?
Yeah, silly goose.
Silly goose. Guys, MF Doom says, silly goose, Doom is too jokey. Damn, he could really use a room or a whole key. I'm not going to get to the next one yet. I love that he says silly goose.
Yeah.
After okie dokie, that he says silly goose. It's brilliant. He's so fun.
Also,
yeah,
great goose alcohol, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, that makes sense.
I think he's continuing that a little
true,
bit.
True, the goose.
She often does, like, he'll have a motif that he just weaves into these very subtle ways, as we're seeing now with the numbers, with the alcohol. Yeah, it's all, like, very, very intentional.
Yeah. When he says he could use a room or a ho-key, he's like saying he needs a place of his own to chill out while he's doing all of this. Or what do you think he's saying whole key or ho key? Cause he could do like a hokey, okie doke, like a dance, or it could be like the key to a worker of the night, or it could.
That's what I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got you.
That was my reading. Cause what he says next, which we have to play the clip for.
Okay. And I also wondered if it's a whole kilo of cocaine. Because like it's a whole.
Oh, right.
Cokie is the Cokie.
Right.
I wondered if that. I don't know what he's saying, but it's so fun.
Yeah, I thought he was saying like someone was saying he could use a room, which is like something you say like if you either.
He's too drunk to drive.
Yeah, too drunk or.
Making a smart decision.
Yeah, too drunk, so he needs a room. Or you also say that when like people are like having like making out in public or something, like get a room. Which then hokey, it flips to this sexual thing. So let's hear the clip and we'll talk about how he kind of flips it into this sex thing.
E-gads, he got her no styles to start three fads. True that, she bad, I wonder do she come with knee pads. What a call, what a real butterball. Either I get a strike or strike out, gutter ball. Rocket like gear for the four with nice inside pockets, prepare for the brawl. Yeah, y'all, you can say it's an earful. Beware, do not touch Mike, be careful. And just like he said, I could have told you. MF, the holder of a boulder, money folder.
All right, Doom reps. E-gads. He says E-gads. E-gads. He got enough styles to start three fads. And then he says, true dat, she bad. I wonder, do she come with knee pads? So
it's good.
So E-gads is like classic superhero, like villain type dialogue.
Yeah.
Excellent after the silly goose to say E-gads.
Right.
He's again talking about like copycats with him having the clones earlier. Now he's going to he has enough style to start three fads. Everybody trying to like be just like him. And then he wonders if a woman comes with knee pads because, I mean, he is insinuating he would like her to be on her knees is what is happening, I think. Is there anything?
I think that's pretty much, yeah, just ties back to the hotel room hokey. Maybe he meant hotel room key.
Hotel room key. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Gotcha. But yeah. But it definitely formal. This is often he does the same thing too, where you're like, is he talking about that? And then like you'll have a line right after or later. Yep, he is doing that on purpose. And I think that's one of those cases because obviously he's talking about a sex worker. Usually sex workers are, you know, do their business in a hotel room. So it all makes sense. Yeah, that's all I have for that though.
Yeah. And the next lines, it's a pretty, I love these next ones. He says,
yeah, it's really good.
What a call, what a real butterball. Either I get a strike or strike out, gutterball. So like, we should set up like he's talking about bowling and baseball at once.
Yeah.
Talking about the way things could go with this perhaps knee padded individual where he is saying like, what a call, what a real butterball. So a butterball is a type, is like a brand of turkey. So he could be like calling her a turkey. He could be like, you know, saying she's a bird, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was like, I thought it might be like a chicken head play.
Yeah.
Because he just talked about knee pads that imply oral sex. Mm-hmm. Chicken head is a play on bobbing head, like oral sex. So I thought that pretty much cemented it.
Mm-hmm. And in bowling, he says, I could get a striker, strike out, gutter ball. So gutter ball is bowling. A turkey in bowling is three strikes. So he gets a strike means he would get with her. He would get three of those in a row. He would have a turkey, right? But if he also got three strikes in a row, he would strike out, which is a baseball term. If you get three strikes, you strike out at the plate, you're out if the pitcher throws three strikes past you. So that would mean that he does not get with the girl. And in bowling, then that would be a gutter ball.
Yeah.
So he's like, I love that he's like simultaneously like it could go this way or this way. And he has a double entendre that shows like that there's this interesting cross section play of words.
It's insane. Like, think about this. Like, this is like we take this kind of stuff for granted with Doom because, what essentially he is saying is this thing with a girl could go either way. But the way that he ends up saying it within this like really complex, intricate baseball, like there's no reason to do that except for like he's an artist and he's a rapper and this is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You say things in creative ways and it's just like, who else but Doom? Like the amount of times I've said that in my head when I'm like dissecting the lyrics this season, I'm just like, who else but Doom? Like there's literally no one else that would think of these types of ways of saying things, certain way he phrases things. It's like, this is a classic example of exactly that.
Yeah.
And the way that like it all makes sense within, especially like the chicken head, turkey, like we got there in a way that wasn't just totally off, like off topic in terms of like, I have this creative idea that I want to kind of like sneak in here, but no, like the butterball thing connects it to the hokey, to the sex worker, to the knee pads with the chicken head thing. So just really great.
Really fun. Yeah. His next MF Doom then rapped, rocket like gear for the fall with, and then I don't know what he says, nice or knives with nice inside pockets, prepare for the brawl. Yeah. Y'all could say it's an earful. Beware. Do not touch Mike. Be careful. So the gear for the fall, that's a nice coat. And so it would have nice inside pockets, right?
Like
it's a nice coat. He's got a cool coat on. He's good, you know, that's nice for him. But it could be knives inside the pockets, and that would be him prepared for the brawl.
I didn't catch that at all.
So that's like his weapon for the brawl. He's prepared for that. So they better not be trying to mess with him. Do not touch his mic. You know, you need to be careful because in his really nice coat, he's got weaponry, perhaps.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I just don't know which word he's saying. And I've seen it both ways.
Well, it could be a homophone.
Yeah. Which I love. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And then again, he's like, do not touch my microphone. Don't touch the mic like an accordion or any other song, you know?
Also, I did read pocket is a term that's used for bowling.
Yeah.
Which is like, there's a certain location of the pins that you, to get a strike. It's called the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So it may or may not be intentional there, but I was trying to think if there is anything with the rocket, like rocket.
Mm.
Because it's tying back to the stone of the opening, which is going to come back here in a second more explicitly. So I think he might be working his way back there with the rocket thing. I was just trying to, I didn't realize rocket could be also be read rocket, like a ship, rocket ship.
True.
But I don't know. But I don't know if that has any, I didn't think that through until now. And I don't think it has any, I don't think it has any, anything to do with it. So probably
do you want to spend 3 hours wondering if the 4-2-1 becomes 1-2-4 and if that matches the song doing the same thing? Cole, we could do it. We could spend 8 hours on the mic.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. And then we got the final bars.
Yep.
MF Doom raps. And just like he said, I could have told you, MF, the holder of a boulder, money folder.
I love it. Just the sound of that.
So good.
So good. Yeah.
So
the holder of a boulder, money folder. Just so good.
He is referencing one of his favorite artists, KRS-One.
Let's play that clip and we can talk about it.
You settle for a pebble, not a stone like a rebel. KRS-One is the holder of a boulder, money folder.
All right, so that is from Boogie Down Productions, KRS-One song called South Bronx from 1987. Classic diss song, started a whole, or it was a response to The Bridge is Over. It was like kind of this, was it the kind of the first real public rap beef, if I'm not mistaken? It's a KRS-One song that we obviously know that Doom really loves him.
Mm-hmm.
So KRS says, you settle for a pebble, not a stone like a rebel. KRS-One is the holder of a boulder, money folder. I have some stuff on this, but go ahead.
I just was like, we talked about this, I think, earlier this season, but like Doom looked at KRS-One as a big inspiration, especially with the way the Boogie Down Productions, everything went and how things went with Doom and his brother. He's talked about that on this song. He talked about censorship. He talked about, you know, not being signed and things like that. So for him to make the callback to KRS-One, I thought was very fitting. Did you have more, like, as far as just the reference?
Yeah. So, okay. So a couple things here, just about the last line.
Mm.
One thing that he does a lot, I've noticed. So the MF doesn't rhyme with anything. So he said, he just, like he said, could have told you MF, the holder of a boulder, money folder. He'll do that a lot with the villain, like one of his classic things, like villain, the worst guy.
Mm-hmm.
The villain rarely rhymes with anything, which is cool because it sticks out.
Because
everything else has all these multiple rhymes and he's doing this really fluid thing. And then when he has such a bold word that is enunciated and very, you know, it's like MF, it's like very powerful because it doesn't rhyme, which is like cool because he's rhyming so much. The thing that doesn't rhyme actually is the thing that sticks out. That's cool detail. So the money folder, in my estimation, is like a play on like a billfold wallet. And so if that's a boulder, then it means they have a large wallet, meaning they have a lot of money, a big wad of cash, which would, so, but also boulder. And he just said, rocket, like gear for the fall. So there's a rock, there's a boulder. And we think about the opening line of the song, he casts the first stone.
Ooh.
So He's doing the classic Doom thing that we talked about on a number of episodes where the last line brings the whole song full circle. But also, if you notice in the Boogie Down Productions, KRS-One says, you settle for a pebble, not a stone like a rebel. Pebble, stone. So he's citing a lyric from Boogie Down Productions that you don't hear, but if you go and do the research, right before he's, KRS-One says, is the holder of a boulder money folder that he's interpolating here at the end of the song. KRS-One is also talking about pebbles and stones, which then ties into boulder and this thing with the opening line of the of money folder, which is about a stone. So it's like all calling back to the beginning. He's bringing this closing the loop, full circle moment, like in more ways than one, right? Like he's got the rock, he's got the boulder. He's paying off the MF. That's another thing I missed. So if the song starts by saying the villain took on many forms and the MF was purposeful, he's also calling back to the actual very beginning of the song and the MF, because now he's paying off the MF with a new MF, which means money folder in this case. So it's like, all that's great. Also, the just the surface level of it is of him isn't, he's not throwing stones, he's actually throwing boulders is what's revealed at the end.
True.
He sins, if we're playing off the opening line, he has sinned so much that he's throwing last because he sinned the most, but he's also throwing boulders and not stones, which is like incredibly clever and cool. And like, what a way to like end a song by calling back to begin. Like, I don't know. This stuff is fucking
really
cool to me.
There's it's like, yeah.
Insane.
It's like also related to his continued discussion, like internally in the verse when he was talking about the sex worker, when, because the holder of a boulder, we're talking about over the boulder, shoulder holder. Like he's talking about a bra. He's talking about that stuff as well. It's that old, I look, if I have to, a grandparent has told me that that is an old man term. So that's what I, don't look at me like
what
that.
What is it again?
The over the shoulder boulder holder. That is a brassiere. So the holding of a boulder.
Yeah, right.
So he's talking about that, and it's the money folder. So it's like those two things are in one. It's just like him with the gutter ball or the turkey.
Fucking dude.
Type thing. I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So brilliant stuff by Doom, as always. Money folder. Really, really great song. There's an outro skit. I don't know if you had much on the outro skit, but essentially they kind of pull this clip where the villains are rapidly growing healthy cash flow. Villain rose to incredible new heights of money making, revenge and extortion. So they obviously hand selected this collage to go with the money folder theme.
I mean, it's great world building. It's great like that they put this on the single. It's got the outro with the sample source. It's also like in the album, good placing because this is the middle. So we have it at the start, middle, and end. Like.
Right.
They're doing a good job of building this motif and using the sample throughout the whole thing. So,
yeah,
love it.
And that's it, Cam. Thanks for joining me.
It's cool. Thanks for having me, Cole.
It's been a blast. I'll talk to you soon.